charted our future almost to the edge of the maps owned by the monks, and those ran all the way to Here There Be Dragons. Another century and a half of a journey into our yesterdays. By the time we retraced our route that far, I hoped we would stand at the heart of a map that encompassed our destination. As soon as it was clear that we had struck gold, I obtained writing materials and a virgin volume of the annals. I could write as fast as One Eye and the monk could translate. Time fled. A monk brought candles, then a hand settled on my shoulder. Lady said, "Do you want to take a break? I could do that for a while." For half a minute, I just sat there, turning red. That, after I practically ditched her outside. After I never even thought of her all day. She told me, "I understand." Maybe she did. She had read the various books of Croker, or as posterity might recall them, the Books of the North, several times. With Mergen and Lady spelling me, the translation went quickly. The only practical limit was One Eye's endurance. It was not all one way. I had to trade my later annals for their older ones. Lady sweetened the deal with a few hundred anecdotes about the Dark Empire of the North, but the monks never connected my lady with the Queen of Darkness. One Eye is a tough old buzzard. He held up. 4 days after he made his great discovery, the job was done. I let Mergen into the game, but he did all right. And I had to beg, buy 4 blank journals in order to get everything transcribed. Lady and I resumed our stroll about where we had broken it, but with me a little down. "What's the matter?" she chided, and to my astonishment wanted to know if it was a post-coital depression. Just the faintest of digs there, I think. "No, I've just found out a ton about the company's history, but I didn't learn anything that's really new." She understood, but she kept quiet and let me articulate my dissatisfaction. "It's told 100 ways, poorly and well, according to the skill of the particular analyst, but except for the occasional interesting detail, it was the same old march, counter-march, fight, celebrate or run away, record the dead, and, sooner or later, get even with the sponsor for betraying us. Even at that place with the unpronounceable name, where the company was in service for 56 years."
"Geazli?"
She got her mouth around it like she had had practice. "Yeah, there. Where the contract lasted so long, the company almost lost its identity, intermarrying with the population and all that, becoming a sort of hereditary bodyguard, with arms handed down from father to son. But as it always will, the essential moral destitution of those would-be princes made itself evident, and somebody decided to cheat us. He got his throat cut, and the company moved on."
"You certainly read selectively, Croker."
I looked at her. She was laughing at me quietly. "Yeah, well," I'd stated it pretty baldly, "a prince did try to cheat our 4 brethren and did get his throat cut. But the company installed a new, friendly, beholden dynasty and did hang around a few years before that captain got a wild hair and decided to go treasure hunting."
"You have no reservations about Commander